This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast, covering all things Ipswich Town since 2015. And after I won the toss and chose to bat, batting for me, number one and two, David Diamond and Craig Finbo. It's been a hell of a week, hasn't it, gents?
Yeah, you're going to take the first ball, Dave, or do you want me to take it?
I think I'll let you, I think.
Dangerous first ball, isn't it?
Fired up Pat Cummins coming yeah. in. I'll let you take that.
Yeah, I'm going to stand right across my stumps and just leave my leg stump outstanding so I can get knocked out the ground.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Yeah, we have a 20-second limit of cricket chat. I think that was 15 seconds, so...
Yeah, we've got a bit to fit in.
We'll save ourselves 10 seconds for the next test. We'll add it onto our next test allowance.
Oh, yeah, good one, yeah. Yeah.
But after the Charlton result, you just knew it was coming, didn't you? You just knew that England weren't going to put a smile on our faces.
No, I started to listen to it on the train on the way home, actually, or watching it on BT Sport on my phone on the train on the way home. So, like, caught. Literally, I got out of the taxi at my front door, keys in the door, plopped myself down on the sofa for the first ball as he was running into bowl the first ball. What a night that was! Perfect.
Oh, it's brilliant. It certainly set the tone there, didn't it? Blimey,
it did indeed. What a week! Let's get into the news. We're hearing all of this nonsense, aren't we? This manager's being linked. This one isn't in contention. But the only real news that we've got since the pre-match show is Neil Harris has refused to comment on the management vacancy at Portman Road. And at the time of recording, and I know that it's a pretty small betting market, this one, so it can fluctuate. But Neil Warnock, your favourite, Dave, is the favourite. Where are you both standing on this?
Who knows? Exactly as you said, who knows really? Because I don't think he was even figuring in the betting maybe yesterday. So, I really don't know. Other names have come into the frame in the last few days. That Derek McGuinness has now been mentioned, hasn't he? Which perhaps wouldn't be such a bad idea. I know since we last spoke, or since I was last on the pod, Neil Lennon was mentioned. I think, who knows? Who knows? What I do know is that you would think that they need someone in situ before the Sunderland game. But yeah. Hey, maybe it'll be John McGrill.
You'd love it to be Warnock, though, wouldn't you, Dave?
Yeah, because I think, look, if just give him a short-term, as I said, sort of shit or bust contract for the rest of the season. Clearly, he's not in it for the long. There's two ways of looking at it. He's not in for the long haul, and I think he would be the motivating type of manager that could or should be able to get a tune out of the squad. Really, I think a young coach coming in now is quite a big call. I just think you need a bit of a motivator at this moment in time, which he certainly is, and he's got no pretense of taking it any further. So that would be my take on it. But yeah,
And Craig, is there any names jumping out at you? And are you confident that we're going to have a new manager in the dugout by the Sunderland game? Or do you think it will be John McGrill, especially as we've got this game in midweek?
Yeah, that might just muddy the waters a little bit, mightn't it? If we do appoint someone, I wouldn't be surprised if we've appointed him, but he doesn't sort of take control of the game, if you see what I mean. He'll be in the crowd watching, and McGrill will still be running the Sunderland match, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, from that point of view, you know, 28,000 in a Portman Road, providing we get a positive result at Barrow, I mean, you'd think McGrill would get a great, you know, McGrill and Kieran Dyer, you know, shoulder to shoulder down the touchline, we'd get an absolutely awesome reception. So, yeah, there's two ways of looking at that, I guess.
But in terms of the names and stuff, I'm the opposite of Dave, really. I would go down the youthful head coach. Get it done now, yeah. Do it now.
Because this season's gone, isn't it, Craig?
Well,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, Christ, tomorrow we're not even at Christmas, and we're already saying that the season's gone. Bloody hell, what a balls up! But yeah, I'd get him in now. I'd get the new guy in now. The new guy's got a transfer window. Just start from now, you know.
And almost right. And almost write the season off. Almost write it off now.
Yeah. And if you get, you know, if it comes good, it comes good. But at least you got the guy's got his feet under the table, isn't he? And he's here and in the building and stuff like that. So I'm very much hopeful that we'll appoint someone of, I don't know, Liam Manning or the guy from Chelsea, Barry.
Oh, yeah, Barry.
Anthony Barry. He's a couple of interviews and articles with him on The Athletic and stuff. He just sounds, it'd be nice just to have, you know, a guy who's at the sort of cutting edge and forefront of tactics and coaching. And not saying
I still maintain it doesn't need that to get him out of that division.
No, it doesn't.
But hey. Look, you know.
No, I'm agreeing. Yeah,
well, no, I think you're right to a point. I mean, I'd love to see Manning and Hogg come in, but I just think perhaps a little bit too early. Perhaps a bit too early for them. But yeah. When's too early? Who knows? I don't know.
I mean, we might as well romanticise about Warnock while we still can, Dave. Would you be moving your seat a little closer to the dugout?
I certainly would. Yeah, I certainly will be, I think.
Three points.
Yeah, I can't believe it. You know, that's me. I don't think it'll be him. I mean, we hear that perhaps Lampard is sort of now distancing himself from it, perhaps. There's still talk of John Terry, isn't it? But I don't know. I'm not sure. It could be something left field that none of us have considered.
Feels like on TWTD pretty much put a line through. Through most of them, didn't it?
Yeah, he did.
Terry, nope, it's not going to be him. You know, next person, nope, not under consideration. He's not under consideration. Bloody hell, there's not many people left.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I wouldn't mind there is Carl Robinson, I wouldn't mind.
From Oxford.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a bit about him. Always has had.
But manager of the week, wasn't he, I think, after yesterday?
Was he? I didn't.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know what. I still don't think they'll be after a manager as such because of the structure we've got behind the scenes. They don't need a manager, do they? You know, they need a coach who can just come in, like we said before about Brentford and Swansea, whoever. Just a coach that will just slot into the structure they've got. Because Ashton said, didn't he, in one of his recent interviews, that if we hadn't got someone in time for January, it wouldn't matter because our recruitment team will be doing the recruiting in any case.
Yeah.
So,
You
know, it'll be a head coach coming to work with the tools that you've been given, not coming in and deciding which tools that you want to play with.
I think all six or seven of us are on standby for an emergency pod should it happen. I think within the next week, that's for sure.
Yeah, let's hope there is one. According to the Sun on Sunday, friend of the show, Christian Walton. Could be recalled in January by Brighton in order for them to sell to a championship club. Let's ignore where this article has come from for now, Craig. But let me put this question to you. We've taken so bloody long to find a decent goalkeeper, haven't we? It would be a shame to lose him this early on.
Yeah, exactly. Just one less position that you don't have to worry about, isn't it? We've said all along that you just need to hang your hat on a goalkeeper and know that he's going to be there for the whole season, you know. League game, cup games apart, sorry. And he, you know, the last few games, he's really been, you know, even getting better, you know, just so solid. He's coming for a lot of crosses now, isn't it? You know, he's sort of getting an understanding with the guys in front of him. So they're more confident with him behind him than they are with dear old Clanky behind them. So yeah, it'd be a right real shame if he got recalled. But you know, whether we'd be in the market for him, I don't know. But now Cook's not here. Is he going to want to come and stay? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess it. Yeah. Although you've just said that the manager that comes in or the head coach that comes in isn't going to be deciding on the recruitment, but
no, but I mean, from Walton's perspective, you know, does he want to come and work for someone who's not?
Yeah, I'm just thinking from like a head coach's perspective. If we bring in like a really modern head coach that wants to play out from the back, maybe Walton isn't suitable because he isn't the best with the ball at his feet. Although we've arguably had worse.
Yeah, well, yeah, Hlecky's got better with the ball at his feet. Arguably, but then he's pretty shit with his hands.
that's two Thomas swear words in the opening 10 minutes.
Thomas Holy's a bit of both, really.
Hashtag bit of both. In happier news, ITFC women have progressed to the fourth round of the Women's FA Cup following a 2-0 away win at Wimbledon. The informed Natasha Thomas scored twice. The WSL team's are in the hat now, and the draw takes place today if you're listening on Monday. Dave, are you hoping that we get an Arsenal or a Chelsea at this stage, or are you sort of thinking, let's avoid those for now and see how far we can get?
I just want to see us play Man City down at the Gold Star ground, to be fair. Get their revenge for their walloping last season. That's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah, it'd be great to get for the club. It'd be brilliant to get a big name, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Well done to them. And in other nice news, we can announce the winner of our Paul Mariner book giveaway, that My Rock and Roll Football Story. We've got two of these to give away. Dave, would you like to do the honours? Who has won the first one?
I'm really
one?
Pleased to say that the first winner is long-standing listener and subscriber and all-round good chap. I've met him a couple of times. It's Tim Pashley.
Congratulations, Tim. He's got the height of the Blue Monday podcast, haven't we? Having met Craig and Seb in recent weeks, I've realised that you're one of the diminutive ones of the podcast, aren't you, Dave?
Well, yeah, and I'm like just about 6 foot, obviously getting older, so shrinking week by week. But yeah, I'm pretty much 6 foot.
I think Tim might even compete tower over
Craig,
over
me and giant, Craig. And so is Seb. Yeah, can't compete with those. Lucky we got Ben.
Good old Ben, yeah.
Although when he's wearing his stage Cuban heels.
He towers over us.
Absolutely.
You can find him.
Yeah, he can still find him.
Yeah.
And Craig, can you do the honours with our other lucky winner?
Oh, yes, I can. I need an envelope, don't I?
Mr. Trick there.
It's James Ruddock. Congratulations to James. Yeah, I'll give it to your brother Neil for Christmas.
Raise up.
Brilliant stuff. And now, I guess the rest of us, it's up to us to go out and buy the book, isn't it? Rich's podcast with the ghostwriter made it. Yeah, you can already tell it's going to be a cracking read, eh?
Absolutely, yeah. Excellent.
Crikey, you know, the amount of stories that he gave to Rich just talking to him for an hour, that's like, you know, the same amount of stories in the book, it'd be more than enough, wouldn't it? But crikey, imagine there's...
I've got to say,
of them in there.
I expect to have my copy read by the time the turkey sandwiches are served about, 7 o'clock Christmas Day evening.
Yeah, I think you'll be probably watching the inside of your eyelids for most of a Christmas Day afternoon, though, won't you, Dave? Right, that brings us nicely on to the match action at Wigan away. So, on to that game, and after Tuesday night's disappointment down at Charlton, it was destination Wigan on a typically dreary day in the northwest. Wigan were five games unbeaten and level on points with league leaders Rotherham at kickoff. Ipswich were debuting a rather beautiful all black kit, which sadly won't be made available to fans, which is a bit of a shame, that one, isn't it, Craig?
Yeah, it's bothered? Nice, isn't it? No, it is nice, but I suppose it's just the logistics of, you know, we're particularly high on Adidas's list of priorities to get extra shirts printed around this sort of time. It's such a ball ache to get the white one out and into the shop, wasn't it? I can't imagine they'll be wanting to do it the same with the black. But yeah, it's really, really nice. I always like black kits anyway, to be honest. Yeah. Even goalkeeping kits and stuff like that, it's something about them, isn't there?
Yeah, look,
I bet James Norwood's shirt will go for a few bob, won't it, Dave?
I should think so. Yeah, absolutely. No, really, look really nice, actually. Yeah, pucker kit, that one.
Lovely stuff. And John McGreal made a bit of a tactical tweak, didn't he, with Burgess, Chaplin and Piggott in for Ensiala, Aluko and Fraser. Were you surprised by these moves or as much as you were expecting?
I mean, Ensiala, I don't know, was it... Who knows with NCL? He wasn't even in the squad, was he? So maybe picked up an injury. I don't think you can hold anything by the after-match going shenanigans at the Valley the other night. Yeah, I mean, it's a nice balance, isn't it? I mean, we said right from the start, all right, start of the season, it clearly Edmondson there. I mean, okay, Burgess there without Edmondson right at the start of the season just didn't sort of work, but it's a nice balance. You know, Burgess, lovely left foot. Edmondson, we know he's probably been the standout player of the season. And was that two up front, wasn't it?
that was going to be my next question to you, Dave. How did you feel about seeing the two strikers? No comment.
Not going to comment. No, it's... Look, it's, as I said all the way along, it's League One, for Christ's sake. So if you're struggling, as we have been struggling to create chances and, well, even score goals in the last four or five games, well, more than that probably, just change it up. And, you know, you've got the personnel to do that, albeit perhaps for the majority of the game it didn't perhaps work. But, yeah, it's League One, for goodness sake. Get the ball up there and feed off that. Well, the idea is to feed off those front two, but there's another question probably there to be asked.
Indeed. I'll just quickly run through that lineup. So it was Walton in goal. Danasian started at left back with Burgess inside him, Edmondson and Vincent Young at right back. Chaplin was out on the right, an unusual position for him. Evans and Morsi, central midfield. Edwards on the left. And yeah, it was Piggott up front alongside Bond, wasn't it, Craig?
Yeah, very much so, yeah. Just about the starting 11, you were at Cheltenham, as was I. I think Evans and Morsi did well both to be starting the following match because, you know, they weren't great. Fraser was poor, wasn't he, at Cheltenham? So no great surprise that he didn't start. But yeah, I think before the match, I think just the principle of having those two starting again, having had such an appalling game at Cheltenham, may have just sent a potentially the wrong message.
Yeah. Do you think it was maybe a little bit harsh on Ilmazuni, but do you think going into what was a 4-4-2, that is a difficult job for a young midfielder like Ilmazuni? Probably hasn't played central midfield in many 4-4-2s, has he?
No. You're exactly right there, Mikey, I reckon. And also they're going back to Wigan, etc., aren't they? You just want to spit a solid base, I suppose, to you in the middle of the field, which they were. They didn't get up to support the front two at all during the whole match. Not from open play, certainly.
No.
Right, I'll just quickly run through the Wigan lineup, a more recognisable lineup than most that we face in League One, for one reason or another. So they have Amos in goal, Dariqua at right back, Watmore and Tilt centre backs, Pierce flying up and down at left back. They had Max Power and Tom Naylor as the two sitters, with Gwion Edwards on the right, James McLean on the left. And what's written down here is Lang playing in behind one Will Keane, who's a player that you were quite a big fan of, weren't you, Dave? And was it Keane playing up front, or was he playing as the 10, Craig?
Yeah, he was pretty much playing up front.
Further up.
Right up top, yeah. He was the furthest, most advanced of their players.
Yeah, I always liked Keane. He just had a nice. I always used to think he looked a nice player, didn't he? Quite an elegant player, had a good touch, moved quite well. I certainly liked him when he was here.
Yeah, go on, Craig.
No, I'm sorry, but he's been playing in the number 10 position, hasn't he, for them more recently?
That was a surprise. He's that kind of player, isn't he?
Yeah. And I was thinking before the match, actually, he's very much like a Nick Powell was for Paul Cook, wouldn't he? He's a taller, you know, slightly more rangy sort of number 10 rather than a Selena or a Chaplin sort of things. So you'd wonder whether Paul Cook might have got a tune out of him had he been around and playing in his number 10.
Like a Marco Stieperman at Norwich a few years ago. Sorry to mention them, but he was another sort of 6'3".
Yeah, lovely player. Yeah, lovely player. Lovely left foot. Crooks. Yeah, just elegant looking player. Yeah.
Matt Crooks.
They're about.
Yeah. The first 20 minutes, gents, were described by Brenner Woolley as boring. We'd have probably have taken the next 25 minutes being boring, though. The first save of note came from Walton in the 21st minute. He pushed aside a stinging shot from Tom Pearce, who bombed forward from left back. Vincent Young sort of struggling to keep hold of him there. But moments later, Craig, we find ourselves a goal behind, don't we?
Yeah, well, what was noticeable, you're saying about Pearce bombing down the right, and it's sort of, it's noticeable that Chaplin was out there nominatively marking him, and he just looked out of...
In the Alan Judge role.
Yeah, very much so. And he'd perfected the Alan Judge scamper. Oh, shit, my player's 40 yards away. I better quickly try and get back to him, sort of thing. Yeah, he'd done that on at least two occasions. He was scampering back to get him. And as you say, Walton tips one over, shot from Pearce. And then we'd sort of done all right from set pieces and corners, but this one was swung in, isn't it, from the right, in swinging. Goyon Edwards gets the towering flicked header, which Walton does well to get a hand to. But and then the guy's standing on line. Is it Lang? He seems to be
laying on the line.
Yeah, but Morsey's appealing, isn't he? And he said in his post-match interview that the referee had apologised because it was actually offside. Because even, you know, Morsey was marking him on the line, but Walton had come off his line. So there was still only one player, you know, between the goal line and the player, sort of thing. So he should have been offside because his foot was on the goal line, you know, when he tuck it in. So, yeah, it's a pity, but yeah, it's just a League One goal, really, isn't it? Flick, near post header and a scramble and a...
I think, to be fair, by that time, they were fairly dominant in the game, weren't they, though?
Yeah, they were, yeah. Yeah, we'd struggled. I know Brenner said it was boring, but there was nothing there, really. There was nobody passing to anyone. There was no patterns of play. I say Chaplin looked lost on the right-hand side. We just... Took the first half, we didn't really get into the match at all. It was very, very scrappy from our perspective. It was a pretty scrappy match, full stop. But yeah, we really struggled in the first half, turned it around in the second.
Indeed, we do have a penalty shout 5 minutes later as Carl Edwards was brought down in the box, but nothing was given. In the 33rd minute, there was a strange incident involving Pearce and Chaplin. Initially, Chaplin's booked for tripping Pearce and reacts angrily, jabbing his finger at Chaplin. And there's a bit of a melee after Pearce goes down a second time. Brenner and Alex Matthew thought that Chaplin was getting second yellow, didn't they, Dave? That confused us.
Yeah, it was all a bit weird. Yeah, absolutely right. And it appears that initially, clearly Chaplin thinks Pearce has taken a dive and he's incensed by it, isn't he, for goodness sake? So you would think perhaps there's something in that. And then it sort of goes off camera. I don't know if you saw it, Craig. It seems in the highlights, it sort of goes off camera. And all you can see is Chaplin walking towards Pearce. Yeah, Pearce. And Pearce, next shot, Pearce is like prostrate on the ground. So you think, well, something's gone on there. Like, has he put his head in there or something like that? But apparently they're saying it was a stamp on his foot or something.
Yeah, but the thing is, it was right in front of the linesman, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The linesman, the referee, couldn't have been more than 5, 10 yards away combined.
Not at all.
So my friend of the show, Henry, was at the game, and he told me that his interpretation was that the ref initially booked him and then spoke to the linesman and then cancelled out the booking. But that doesn't go along with what Stuart Watson said, but
no,
trust what he saw, it kind of makes sense. But yeah,
I don't think Chaplin,
whichever kettle's around, you're never too far away from it reaching boiling point, are you, Dave?
There it is. Yeah, he's always quick with his whistle.
I think you've stolen that one, haven't you? That was that's one of mine. So no other big chances for us at the half, Craig. Did this feel like Tuesday night repeating itself? I think I saw you tweet actually that it's good to see two strikers isolated rather than one.
Yeah, I say it's 100% better from Tuesday because we've now got two isolated strikers. Yeah, that was it. Is that I say Chaplin really didn't do too much on the right. Morsey and Evans were very deep central midfield. They were playing, you know, like the in the 4-2-3-1 formation. They were still playing very deep just in front of the back four. Edwards did as Edwards does, got on the ball a few times and actually, you know, keeps trying, going to the box. That penalty shout, it wasn't obvious, but it was certainly a nudge in the back from the other Edwards, wasn't it? I think it's from Guion Edwards, nudged him in the back. And about 5-10 minutes later, there was an identical foul, which the ref gave. Obviously, it was outside the box, so he's more freely going to give it. But yeah, it was still a nudge in the back as he was bearing down on towards the touchline. But yeah, apart from that, there wasn't too much going on in the first half, so it's pretty scrappy 45 minutes.
It was. There was no substitutes at the break, but there was a slight change with Danasian and Kane Vincent-Young switching sides. And I wondered why that might have been. Obviously, it was because of Vincent-Young's defensive frailties rather than trying to get him forward down the left, wasn't it?
Yeah,
you'd think so. And I mean, certainly at Charlton, I can't really speak much about the first half yesterday, but Danasian was so... It was just uncomfortable seeing him play there at Charlton, wasn't it? My goodness me. So, but yeah, I think Pierce was certainly, as you said earlier, making inroads further into our half towards our box most of that first half. So you'd think it perhaps was more tactical than anything.
I think it's safe to say if it's the recruitment team or if it's the new manager, the left back may be on the shopping list come January.
Yes,
quite possibly. we improve at the start of the second half, but don't create much in the way of chances until a double substitution changes the game, Dave. On came James Norwood for his first match since injuring his hamstring against Newport in the Carabao Cup. And Sonny Aluko came on as well with Piggott and Chaplin going off.
Yeah, I mean, I think that... And good, I think it's got 60-second minutes, so a good half an hour to go. So it's given him enough time on the day. Seemingly, Piggott was quite out of sorts, as you said earlier. Both him and Bond were totally isolated first half. And I think when perhaps the ball did get played up to Piggott, it's just one of those, Matthew was saying on comms, it was one of those days where it just wasn't sticking with him at all. And everything he tried just didn't come off. And yeah, Chaplin was an odd one playing right side when it had clearly maybe a bit on the opposite way, a bit like Danasian at Charlton, just never really looked comfortable playing, you know, playing there really. So yeah, on comes, as you say, Piggott and Aluko. And, certainly from listening to a commentary, it was just we had much more about us almost from that minute, really.
Absolutely.
Norwood just looked sharp when he came on, you know, he wasn't, losing your head, Norwood. But he was direct. You know, he was getting on the board. He was closing people down. He was harrying. But as you know, he just creates chaos, doesn't he? And mayhem
he
when he comes on the pitch. Yeah, exactly.
I think we said before. You know, Norwood. We couldn't. Okay, look, there are outside influence with Norwood, which are well documented. But aside from that, a fit James Norwood, he should always be in the squad. If he's not starting, he should be on the bench, because just like yesterday, as Craig said, he comes on and he just makes things happen. Yeah. All right, he might lose his head and get a cheap yellow card, but it gets people stirred up.
On the pitch could be our sort of Richard Naylor, couldn't he?
Yeah.
If used in the right way. Like, and occasionally starting, but
he scores goals.
Also a good option off the bench, an aggressive option.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
He's immediately involved, has a shot which is easily saved by Amos, but showed his intent early on. But then we have a real let-off, Craig, as the hipster's choice, Will Keane, is slipped in by Gwion Edwards.
Yeah, and it wasn't offside, was it? I don't think. No.
Look, really? At it,
he looks level, if not.
It's a good move, that. Slick move.
Yeah, it was, yeah. And it's a good finish, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, rough, yeah.
But I say, that sort of proved the point that he was playing the most advanced of their players. And then he also had a header, didn't he, a little while later, which he should have scored from.
Ooh, yeah.
Such a nice guy, Will Keane, that obviously you shared breakfast with him once.
I did.
Milson,
yeah,
a few years ago, Dave. Did you notice how he didn't even complain at the linesman, even though he was onside?
Not at all. Then he just got up, jogged back. Yeah, yeah.
Too much for Gent for that.
Yep.
Dave, our set pieces, this is a real bugbear of yours, isn't it? They were especially bad on Tuesday night, but on 77 minutes, Lee Evans does get one right here, doesn't he?
It's a great delivery. It's just where it needs to be. So he's, what, about 40 yards out, sort of right-hand side of the Wigan half, maybe not quite 40, 35, something like that. But it's just a great delivery. It's just that delivery hit with, but he doesn't just float it, and it's hit with pace around that, in that cricket, corridor of uncertainty. And they just don't deal with it. Edmondson challenges it. They don't deal with it. Who's there on the spot? Norwood from what, left foot finish from what, 6 yards, 7 yards, buries it. And yeah, he's quite pleased, isn't he?
And the celebration, Craig?
He gives it.
I'd imagine for Mr. Ashton sitting in the director's box,
I would imagine. He's probably covering his eyes then. Yeah.
It is a weird one, isn't it? Because of Norwood's tweet after Paul Cook left, essentially saying that
he wasn't being allowed to be picked.
He wasn't being allowed to be played.
Mm.
Maybe Ashton saw that and was like, well, I'll show him. You're allowed to play now, or whether John McGrill just said, look, if I'm going to do this, I need to have all of the players available, and fresh slate for everyone.
Especially after Charlton. Good grief. Yeah, absolutely. And great to see.
And to be fair about the set pieces, Evans didn't have a great game. Certainly first half, he was pretty poor.
Set plays were better, though, weren't they?
They were a lot better. Yeah. He put two or three good free kicks in yesterday.
Yeah.
He does at least try and put balls in with pace, but yeah, he quite often hits the first man, doesn't he?
Has that been in 101? Oh no, I'll leave that.
Yeah, you'll get your chance, Dave, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So Wigan should regain the lead on 84 with Keane heading wide from close range. That was a really good chance, wasn't it?
Another good free kick, though, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Great,
quality
great
free kick,
delivery.
That one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Took everybody out. I don't know. How did he miss?
Yeah, and how do you can't defend it, can you? It was just literally perfect right into his head.
Absolutely perfect. I mean, it's almost harder to miss that. Any sort of, it's one of those ones where he probably makes too solid contact. If he just sort of skims his head, it goes in the far corner, probably. Yeah.
And Edwards has a close-range effort block for Town in the 87th minute. Morsley drags a shot wide in the 90th minute, but 1-1 was how it stayed, boys, and
I mean, I think the heartening thing about that, after we scored, last 10 plus, last five, certainly past time added on, seemed like, we were the most likely, which is, we were really on the front foot, which is positive.
Yeah. No, we were. We kept it at 4-4-2 as well. We kept two up front for the whole match. Edwards played the whole 90 minutes, didn't he? So I think if we're going to stick with, as you say, Dave, crikey, it's not rocket science. And Norwood might thrive from getting more balls into the box and having someone up there with him to help fight his battles and stuff. So, yeah, no cons of sticking with it.
I think you hit the nail on the head. What he gives you, Mike, is aggression. He gives you that aggression, doesn't he? Buzzes about, and he doesn't give defenders a moment's peace and stuff. Okay, sometimes he oversteps the mark, but, sometimes you just need that. The team
just
needs
a question,
that.
So it's just a question of whether he's ever going to be fit enough and can you trust these hamstrings, whatever it is, enough for him to start matches and rather than being that 30 minutes impact sub at the end of the match sort of thing. So he's perfect for it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
There's a couple of questions on Norwood. One of them from Paul Westlake. Does that make Norwood a match day bench option now, or put him ahead of Piggott alongside Bond if we're going to stick with two up front? I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? Because we don't know who the manager is going to be for the next game. But you'd imagine we'll go with two up front, up, in Barrow.
Gosh, you can't get more further up.
Down from Barrow, you're playing in Scotland.
Apart from Father Christmas, there's not many people going down to Barrow.
Yeah, I'd have thought so. I'd have imagined we'll keep it exactly the same as it was. You know, let's just back to basics, 4-4, F in 2, and just, you know, get the ball up to them quicker than we do just, you know, fanning around at the back. And as Paul said, I just wonder whether, as I said, that he'll be a bench option for a little while until we can trust him that he's going to be fully fit, especially if you've got another game on Saturday. I can't imagine. Well, he may start to get him half a match on Wednesday in readiness to just get him a bit more match sharp for the weekend. I don't know.
Can you imagine Saturday in that cauldron like atmosphere? Oh, yeah. Dear.
But I say, Piggott was disappointing yesterday, but, you know, it was just one of those days where everything was bouncing off of him and, you know, he wasn't linking up. They were a completely different wavelength. But they're going to be, aren't they? They've never played together before. So it's not as if they can, you know,
if they are going to persist with 4-4-2, the key is to just get someone has to make that effort from central midfield to get into the box, for Christ's sake. You know, get ahead of the ball, or no, if not, not ahead of the ball, but, you know, support closer. As I said, you know, you watched it, Craig, you know, Morsey and Evans, just sit beside each other and deep, for Christ's sake. Certainly that, but thinking back, I know, okay, they were terrible on the night, but that Doncaster game was a little bit of an outlier, really, wasn't it?
it would appear it was at this stage. Mullet asks, he was at the game, of course, as it was up north. Watch the lads. A Wigan fan in the pub was adamant that Cook got it wrong not bringing Richardson and Barry with him. Does this settle questions over his failure here? Or is it more that he was a Marcus Evans appointment allowed to carry on in a whole new structure? # keep away days Northern.
There's no mention of Will Keane in that question.
No.
Yeah.
He's a little quiet on Rakeem Harper as well at the moment, but there we are.
I think, what would be interesting to know is that once Cook does get another job, you know, how many of Roberts, Francis, Jeffers and Craney he takes with him to trust behind the scenes at his next job, you know? I can't imagine there'll be all three of them. Maybe one. I don't know. Probably answers its own. We don't know, but I can't imagine he'll be entrusting them to get his defensive set up at his next club.
But I think, I mean, does the Wigan fan think that Cook chose not to take Richardson? Because my perspective is that he wanted to take Richardson, but Richardson was having his first proper management job.
I think the assumption was that he was definitely coming, wasn't it? Because Paul Cook was rather coy in when he first came in and he was asked about it. He was like, oh, you know, let's wait till the summer. But then, you know, Richardson did so well that he got offered the job, didn't he? I don't think that was in anyone's thoughts that it was going to happen that way. But, you know, sod's law for us, it tends to happen, doesn't it? I think the assumption was that he was going to come along with him once he got to the summer and whoever else was going to take over at Wigan.
Yeah, he's done brilliantly there, hasn't he? Absolutely brilliantly.
Right. It has, yeah. Definitely a well-organised side. Joe Fares asked, in the post-match interview on the club's social media, John McGreal stated that he's famous for making substitutions. Are there any other vague claims to fame in the squad?
I saw that. But what? I'm not sure I understood. Where was Joe when he's... Joe was out last night, wasn't he? Somewhere?
He was out in Norwich, yeah. Yeah, maybe it was the air.
He did say that, didn't he? He was talking for five minutes.
Was he being serious?
Yeah.
Was he famous for making substitutions?
Well, John McGreal says John McGreal's famous for making substitutions.
He's a football manager.
I usually make two or three in the second half.
Yeah, that's a bit of an odd thing. Maybe you need to get a Cole U fan on here. Yeah. John McGreal Was he well known for making substitutions?
Yeah, well, that is why I turned to Craig. But
I presume.
No, good point.
I presume it was the timings he's talking about. No, he doesn't wait until Paul Cook does to the 89th minute before
which
making
we said,
the change.
Didn't we? Yeah.
As Dave says,
yeah,
you
got it right. Yeah.
Norwood 30 minutes yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah. Vague claims to fame. Maybe Michael Jordan wore number 23 because of Sonny Aluko, something like that.
I see.
Possibly the other way around.
But. Obviously, our goalkeeper was a distant relative of that American family back in the 70s, I think.
Christ, the way that's too old for Mikey.
Mikey, what the hell's he on about? Mikey.
The Waltons, isn't it?
There you go. He's a distant cousin of John Boy.
Right, have you got any more of these, Dave?
I could go on, obviously. Obviously, Joe Piggott's a long distance, total relation to a well-known jockey, clearly. And now he's spelled differently.
Excellent. Let's move on. Pete Girls asks, the game changed massively after Norwood came on. Is a shithouse 4-4-2 with the king of shithouse up front better for League One than trying a sexier Premier League Championship 4-2-3-1 system just to get out of this horrible league? Aluko also had an excellent impact, which shouldn't be ignored. He's absolutely right, is it? Because the game did change when Norwood and Aluko came on. Aluko didn't have a good night at Charlton, but nobody did. So good to see that his confidence levels haven't dropped. But yeah, we've kind of covered this one, haven't we? You two are now both in agreement that we should be looking at 4-4-2? Or is it horses for courses for you, Craig?
Well, I'm not necessarily wedded to 4-4-2, but two up front, I think.
Front,
you can play 3-5-2 or whatever you have to play. I mean, I'm sure the new manager, whoever it is, will be a bit more flexible in terms of his formations than...
But you'd like to see two strikers on the pitch, wouldn't you?
Exactly. And the thing is, it just needs, just needs bedding in, doesn't it? And the guys just need to get used to be playing it because they haven't been coached to play it for, well, certainly since Paul Cook walked in the door, have they? So, and with Aluko on, maybe you get a bit more quality into the box as well. That's something you need, isn't it? You've got two up front, you need to start getting some decent crosses in from open play rather than just relying on your set pieces as well.
Yeah.
Just moving back to the Barrow game, FPL Tractor, what kind of team would you send to Barrow? I think I wouldn't put my first 11 on the bus and get them training together all week. Obviously, Paul Cook was going really strong, wasn't he? But John McGreal might be looking at it slightly differently. Do you think maybe because the fact that he's going to be under 23's coach with Kieran Dyer, they might fancy having a look at some more of the youngsters in this game?
Yeah, maybe. I think you might see Humphreys perhaps. But again, the depth of squad. I mean, I know we've got a couple of injuries, obviously long-term, seemingly Burns and Coulson. But other than that, obviously not sure about Nciala, but other than that, there's a relatively clean bill of health for the squad. So look, we're going to, whatever you think, we're going to put a fairly strong team out just because of the depth of squad that we've got, for goodness sake. So Barrow, wouldn't be surprised to see Bon again up front just to try and get him a goal, for goodness sake, and get him up and running again, perhaps. But out of the youngsters, you'd think El Mazzouni would most likely to play. Maybe Humphreys might even get a start, perhaps.
Things as well, I suppose it's also an opportunity. Sorry, Dave, it's also an opportunity for people to play together, though, isn't it? It's an opportunity.
There's another way,
Piggott and Bond to get another 60 minutes together.
Yeah.
The problem is that this game is on Wednesday, isn't it?
Yeah, so, a bit close, isn't it?
I mean, we'll presumably they'll be training Monday, Tuesday, but then if you're playing at Barrow on Wednesday, you're not going to get any other
Tuesday,
proper training, and you're just going to do set pieces on Friday.
But hang on a minute. Didn't Boris just have an 8 o'clock announcement? Hang on, I'm now getting it through. Oh yeah, all football's cancelled anyway from 30. No, it's not. Oh, sorry, mate.
I mean,
that was a joke.
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
Oh my god! If
this
happens,
isn't live anyway,
my god.
Is it? So,
no.
There we are. let's change the subject completely. Then Alex Hare asks if you could make one of Selena, Bon or Walton a permanent signing in January, which one would it be and why? Alex would go with Walton. Every team needs a decent keeper. I'm going to say Bon because we've unearthed a goal scorer there and I think he'll come good again. I'd probably go for Bon.
Walton,
I must say, I'd go for Walton.
Yeah. It's mad, isn't it, that we're not saying Selena at this stage?
No, but the thing is, he's, and as Dave said, and the guys I was will was with yesterday, mate called Glenn, just saying that he's now looking more and more like a luxury player, isn't he? If you're going to be playing 4-4-2, you're not going to be fitting Salina into that formation, are you? You know, you if you're going to play him, he needs to be in Abel Tarap for QPR, that everything goes through him and everyone else does his defending for him. But he hasn't warranted that sort of status, has he, at the moment? So, you know, which we're, as yesterday showed, we're trying to get Chaplin into the team and sort of failing. So, Christ, I can't imagine Salina's going to fit in there. So, out of the three, he's probably the third choice, I'm believing, from my perspective.
But lovely to have. Again, a lovely option to have.
Hopefully he'll make an impact between now and the end of the season. Oh. And there's probably less of a rush as well to sign Salina. Like, there's less talk of other clubs looking for him.
Well, if he does just that season, we've got that memory of him, that goal against Crewe, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, we've got some decent memories out of him this season. The last minute winner against Fleetwood, and the double at Wickham was good as well. So
that goal was just sensational, wasn't magic, it? Just wasn't totally it? Out of kilter with everything around it, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just madness.
Juxtaposition.
Yeah.
Skip Intro asked Craig, was that ref the worst we've had this season? He got so many decisions wrong and missed so much S housery. Also, what did he make of Norwood's celebration?
Mm-hmm. Well, to be fair to the ref, he's had a pretty stiff competition this year, isn't he? In terms of crap refereeing.
I've been some shockers, haven't I?
Yeah, I see.
There was a really bad one this season, wasn't there? I'm trying to think when it was.
There's been a few, to be fair, Mikey.
But there was one that was really, really
bad.
Yeah.
Well, Trevor Kettle's, you know, well known for being great.
Come on, Mikey. I can't have used up your only second pun on Trevor Kettle. There's got to be some more coming. Come on. Yeah,
Trevor Kettle got 4 out of 10 in the Football League paper.
Ooh, that's rated. Poor.
Yeah.
That was one, Dave, you didn't like that one.
not really. Tenuous. No. Too far tenuous.
Tenuous.
No, not getting that.
Yeah. Do you think it'll be cold up in Barrow, Dave, or a bit of a furnace? Got to laugh at that one.
I just stopped short saying he was on fire. Oh, stop it. Stop it now.
let's do the other results. Accrington 1, Bolton 0. Accrington stay above us. Bolton's season has just gone from bad to worse, hasn't it? Charlton followed up their good win against us the other night with a 2-0 win over Cambridge. They're looking decent, aren't they?
Connor Washington scored both of those. He looked good, didn't he? Those front two look really good.
They're only one point ahead of us, though, in the table, aren't they? And even before the match on Tuesday, they were looking to aim to get in the playoffs, and they were like, you know, three points behind us, and we're looking down and worrying about relegation, and they're looking forward to getting to the playoffs.
But again, you know, they've got, you know, one Tuesday, one yesterday, they've got that momentum, haven't they?
Yeah.
Starting to get it going.
Yeah, that's exactly what we need when the new manager comes in. We actually need a new manager bounce for once. It makes such a difference.
Yeah.
Especially, it's the perfect opportunity to have a new manager bounce as well, because there's so many games.
Yeah.
But the thing is, but the teams above, as you look at the form table of the teams above us...
Yeah, they're all winning matches apart from Plymouth. Yeah.
Plymouth, Argyle aside, who have gone completely, you know, through the floor... But everyone else is, you know, 4 wins out of the last 6, and the other 2 have been draws. Pretty much every team in the top 8, apart from Plymouth, as I say, are winning. They're also not playing each other.
Yeah. Cheltenham 2, Lincoln 2, Sheffield Wednesday, they're still looking strong. 2-0 win at Crewe, rock bottom. Doncaster, big win for them over Shrewsbury. Fleetwood 2-1 over Gillingham. Oxford... they're just so solid, aren't they? 2-1 away at Milton Keynes. Pompey, they're on the up as well. 2-0 win over Morecambe. Rotherham, 3-1 at home to Burton. Shock, shock, shock. Sunderland, 2-1 over Plymouth, who you've just mentioned. But Wickham were held at home to AFC Wimbledon. So we're clinging on to the top half after that point.
Did you see Teddy Bishop's goals?
I haven't seen them, though. Any good?
Do you see them, Craig?
No, I haven't seen them.
Oh, really, really, really good. Yeah, first one. Both, I think, pretty much first time finishes. Yeah, one top corner, one low. left. Yeah, really, really good. Yeah.
Well, what are they? His ninth and tenth of the season.
Funny enough, I think that could have been his first league goal. But they're great finishes, and good for the lag, as we all know. He's got quality.
He's got a bit.
Just fitness, isn't it, with him? Mm.
Charlton are a point above us in 11th. Accrington, 2 points ahead of us in 10th. And then there's the 5-point jump up to Milton Keynes, who are in 9th with 35. Portsmouth, 8th, 36. Wednesday, 7th, 37. And yeah, Plymouth are on 37 points. So yeah, we're nine points off the playoffs. Ahead of them, Oxford on 39, Wickham on 42, Sunderland 42, Wigan 42, and Rotherham looking like, well, they're the biennial League One champions, aren't they? 44 points from 21 games. We've got a game in hand as well. We'll be back with the usual shows later this week, and hopefully we'll have a live reaction show, as Dave mentioned earlier, to discuss our new manager whenever that happens. Rich and Seb will be having their remote pre-match show party live on the YouTube channel on Friday, and be on our social media feeds too ahead of the Sunderland game. Please join for that. Rich promises there'll be beers. And before we say goodbye, I thought it'd be nice to share this quick story on our captain, Sam Morsley. There's not loads of detail on this, but Joe Fares received a nice message on Facebook from a bloke. He says, Sam Morsley was a super captain at Wigan. Off the pitch, he was a star too, especially to my best man's daughter, Abby, a then 9-year-old with bone cancer who lives near me in Nottingham. He became Abby's hero. And to cut a long story short, she recovered, but not before losing a leg. But Sam Morsley never forgot her. And today she was at the game, and Sam Morsley went and made her day, went and found her. Just lovely stuff, isn't it? Because we're always quick to criticise our players, gents, if they don't conduct themselves in the right way. So it's only right we highlight the good stuff they do as well. And that's good off-field captaincy from Sam Morsley, isn't it?
Yeah, great. Yeah, love to see that.
And before we go, do you gents want to just run through your Barrow lineups? Got a bit of time here.
What, the lineups? What, you want us to name the Barrow lineup?
Yeah, I want the Barrow lineup. We've played them already, Dave. You should know it.
Wheel out the Barrow lineup.
We'll turn this into the pre-match show of Barrow. So, Dave, tell us about Barrow's formation.
I see them. I see Barrow playing a solid 4-4-2 like they did at Portman Road. So for us, Kladke will perhaps get a game in. Go. He might surprise us, as you say, and just keep pretty much the same to get to try and bed it in a bit more. But I think Craig, or you were right, Mikey, with the game being on the Wednesday, another 24 hours than it normally be played. I see perhaps Ladley, Vincent Young at fullback. I would have thought maybe Penny will get a game at left back. Perhaps Wolfenden in alongside maybe, I don't know, Burgess. Perhaps would they risk Edmondson? I don't know. Ms. El Mazzouni, I would think, would get a game. Humphreys maybe getting a start. I would start with Bon just to try and get him a goal, perhaps, just to get some confidence there. And either Bon or Piggott, or maybe, I don't know, Bon and maybe Norwood might get a start. Whatever you'd think, because as like I said before, the depth of squad this season, it's not going to be a cup team from as we've seen in previous seasons, is it? As we've seen perhaps in the Oldham games, etc.
Craig, you're now less confident that a mismatch sort of team of fringe players can beat a League Two team after what we've seen already this season.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that the Oldham game, we ended up playing a full strength team, but we were talking about, Fraser will probably play and Piggott will probably start and Hladky will be in goal and that's perfectly fine. Burgess will be back. And yeah, this will be more than good enough to beat Oldham in League Two. And then as it turned out, we went full strength in that first game, then we went pretty strong at Oldham, pretty strong again against Barrow at home, and we've struggled in all of them, haven't we?
Yeah, that's right. And in terms of the lineup, I suppose you want to look at the bench, who was on the bench yesterday.
Yeah.
So as Dave said, Penny was on the bench, Carroll was on the bench, wouldn't he? So maybe Carroll will start the match.
Maybe Harper, if he's not injured, will come back into it.
But then Harper and Wolfenden aren't even getting in the match day squad, are they now? Mm. And that's with a new manager as well as Paul Cook. So, yeah, you've got too many players, haven't you? But I can't. It is just that day, isn't it? A day later just muddies the waters completely in terms of what you can do, isn't it? It's such a long way away. Even if it was at home, it wouldn't be such a problem. But as you say, Mikey, you know, you'd be traveling all day Tuesday and all day Thursday.
Yeah.
Recovery Friday and then match on Saturday.
Yeah. Not ideal.
No, let's hope we put on a show.
Obviously, yeah, we're usually good on ITV4, aren't we?
ITV4. When the hell did we last play live?
I'm referring to Big Match Revisited, Dave.
Ah, Sirik, we're always brilliant on that. Especially the last few weeks have been really good. In the last few weeks, yeah, cracking home draw against Liverpool and a good, nice away win in the mud at Birmingham.
That was a good one.
See where you're coming from there. Yeah, now it'd be that'd be good. That'd be nice to see us on TV, and hopefully we, like I say, we can put on a display, some sort of display for once. We all know what happened the last time we went to Cup Replay on TV.
Terry Butcher's face.
And Chris Sutton grinning like a Cheshire cat, wasn't he?
Yeah.
There we are. Any last words before we go? Anything you want to plug?
No, just quickly, I mean, people know about it, but I'm certainly looking forward to Saturday. I'm going to be down there 9:30 for the unveiling of the Kevin Beattie statue.
Of course, yeah. Excellent stuff. Yeah. Are you going to make it up for that, Craig? Is it a little bit too early?
Yeah, probably. But logistics, mate, at the weekend. My little girl's going to come along as well, actually, on Saturday. We've got her a ticket, awesome. So I'll, a trip to Pizza Hut has been promised for me.
Oh, yeah. Are you down the weekend, Mikey? You're not
afraid? I'm not. No, I'm out in London, but I'm gonna come up for the Wickham game.
Oh, cool.
Helping to pack up Portman Road. I don't know how well those tickets are selling for the Wickham game Tuesday night. I don't know how many they've sold for that, but I'm sure it would be a decent crowd.
Yeah, I think to be fair, I think quite a few people bought the three game pack.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah. I mean, I'm sure it won't be 28,000 or whatever, but I think it'll be decent.
Nice. All right, then. Thanks for that one, gents.
Yeah, cheers, guys.
Bring on the Barrow.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.